Proverbs 23, verse number 19. My text is verse number 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I want to start, if you notice the book of Proverbs, there's so much when you read the book of Proverbs about the heart. When you start reading it, the heart is all the way through the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom in the Bible. And it's not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about the seat of your emotions and your affections. Your heart is what you allow to like and dislike and be pleased with. Your heart is what you desire. When you first read of your heart, and just listen closely, we're going to stay there at verse 26, but just listen to this. Proverbs 2:2 says, "See that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 4:23, we're warned, "Keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," your heart, "are the issues of life." Sounds like the heart's pretty important. We're giving a lot of admonishment and warning about the heart. And then, as it is in Proverbs over and over again, that was just Proverbs chapter 4. If I look at Proverbs 23, where we're at today, can you look at verse number 7? Ready? "For as he thinketh," watch this, we're just focusing on the heart right now. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee." Look at verse number 12 in Proverbs 23. "Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge." Proverbs 23:15. Look at verse 15. "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." Look at verse 17. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Look at verse 19. "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." And of course, the last place is verse 33 in Proverbs 23. Look at this. "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." So I tried to give you a small overview of Proverbs. There's so much about the heart in there. In this one chapter, the heart is mentioned over and over again. And you learn from reading your Bible. God teaches us that the condition of your heart has everything to do with how you receive the Word of God and whether or not you can be a wise person or whether you're a fool. It's all based on how you protect and guard and guide your heart. We come to our text, which is, it's amazing out of all these verses. Verse 26 says, "My son, give me thine heart." Give me thine heart. In all of the instruction of Proverbs, the words, "my son," is found 24 times. This is a dad instructing his son. That's why Proverbs break. Take a path here, we'll shoot the rabbit, make slippers, put them on, come back, and we'll get right back on the trail. That's why it's so important that a teenager reads the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was designed for the youth to every day get instruction for your heart. You could see my wife's Bible when she was in a youth group and as a teenager. She has her Bible and the book of Proverbs is so marked up. It's underlined and circled and drawn lines. And the book of Proverbs is so important. Okay, we shot the rabbit, we made slippers, we put them on, now we're coming back to the main trail. Ready? Okay. Here is a dad instructing his son. I love looking at the verses. What can a father teach a dad? "My son, be wise, protect your heart." Now let's take a different path. You ready? When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God became your Father. The Bible is the Word of God. As you read Proverbs, this is not only a father instructing his son, but this is also your Heavenly Father instructing you as His child. Yes, a dad is supposed to teach his son about wisdom and about protecting your heart and all that. I mean, it's wonderful to just look up the words, "my son," and go through there. And yes, a dad is supposed to teach that. But have you ever read the Bible as if it's God talking to you? It's the way we're supposed to read it. And here God is saying to us this morning, and I'd like you to see it as an individual, God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, says to each one of us this morning, My Son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. You see, it's by God's grace that we're saved and that we can even be called His child. I love 1 John 3:1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. I get to be one of His children. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's of His mercy and His grace. When God saves you, it's because if you place your faith in the blood that He shed for you on Calvary, then what you do with your heart is your choice. Because it's interesting, here you can see God who loves us is seeking love. Listen closely. Normally you would not seek the love of someone who doesn't love you. But if you love someone, then you seek their love. I know that's fairly elementary and simple, but just follow me. God asks us of our love because God is love. Here God's saying, would you give me your affection? You're my child. He's only talking to the saved. He doesn't say this to the world. He says, my son, as my child, give me your heart. Give me your love. Give me your affection. That's amazing. God teaches us to ask Him in prayer, Dear Lord, help us today. Our Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. We're told to ask Him, and we're supposed to be saying to God all the time because we depend on Him, give me. But here, in this verse, the Creator of the universe is asking of us, the created, give me. Give me. The great giver and answerer of prayer says to His creation, give me. If we were reasonable and in our right minds, we would automatically reply, Lord, you want my heart? Why, of course, you can have it, right? If we were reasonable, if we were thinking, how come God has to ask us for it? Doesn't that bother you? It should bother you. Shouldn't it be a natural response? You save me from an eternal hell. You give me an eternal home in heaven. You wash my sins away. You made me your child. I mean, wouldn't it be natural? Why is God even asking? Give me your heart. Give me your heart. You see, very few people reply like King David did, the man after God's own heart in the Bible. In Psalm 27, God used David's pen, When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. God, you want me to seek you? You got it. Very few people respond that way. It's amazing that God, who is love, seeks the love of those who could never equal His love. It's like wisdom seeking human scholars. If wisdom did admit us into its school, we would lower the grade point average and we'd be an immediate embarrassment to the institution. That's absolutely amazing. But wisdom is saying, come, let me teach you. Give me your heart. It's amazing that God says to each of us, give me thine heart. Come and learn of me. God pities us and knows our frailties and the weakness of our frames, but as commonplace as we are, God says to each of us, My son, give me thine heart. Only perfect love would seek the love of our hearts. Psalm chapter, just listen closely. I'll have you turn to, just listen to this. Psalm 50, God is talking here, and listen to what God says. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. God says, I made the world, I made everything in it, it all belongs to me. And then He says in Psalm 50, verse 12, if I were hungry, if I had a need as God, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine in the fullness. The leader doesn't come to the follower and says, would you help me? God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But here God exposes a need He has. He says, give me your heart. I want something that only you can give. Give me, I want something I don't have. Your heart. The name of the sermon this morning is called Your Heart, a gift for the Lord. A gift for the Lord. You see, when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you get God's salvation. You don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. I just know you get forgiveness of sins. You get an eternal home in heaven. You get a new body waiting for you. Your position in Christ is, it's wonderful what you get at salvation. But when God receives you because you give your heart to Him, then you can enjoy being God's son, God's child. And watch this. You don't enjoy salvation until you give back to God. Aren't you glad you don't have to give to be saved? You accept His gift of eternal life, but you enjoy being saved when you give your heart back to God. You say, well, you're supposed to give your heart. I know a lot of Christians that haven't given their heart to God. I love what one man said to me in one church I was in. I'll never forget it. He said, I can take you to the altar. He was a businessman in the church. He said, I can take you to the altar and I can show you the place the day I gave everything to the Lord that I have. The day I surrendered. The day I gave my heart. I always enjoyed talking with him. You see, it breaks God's heart to be forgotten. When I read Jeremiah 2:32, God says this, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? I think that's an amazing verse. God says, could a bride forget her wedding dress on her wedding day? Yay, it's a wedding day. Look at that. He says, that seems impossible. And yet, what's he say in Jeremiah 2:32? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. God says, I don't like to be forgotten because I've done so much. God loves to save sinners. God also loves it when sinners who are saved, what? Give Him their heart. This is how come Christians don't enjoy serving. Colossians 3:23 and 24 say, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward for the inheritance, for that ye serve the Lord Christ. I love what Brother Dorsey said when we were working here at the church. He said, I don't do this for anybody. He said, when I got saved, he said, everything goes up. Your work ethic goes up. How you work on the job goes up because they know you're a Christian. And when you get saved, he said, then you start doing things for the Lord and your expectation, you want it right. You do it heartily as unto the Lord. You put your heart in it. I'm doing this for God. You see, I'm not supposed to be in any competition with any other preacher. But when it comes to preaching of the Word of God, I'm supposed to give it everything I have. I am to do it with all of my heart. God saved you to serve Him. But you aren't supposed to serve the Lord just out of duty. You're supposed to serve Him with your heart, with your emotion, with your desires. The Lord wants your hard work for Him to be hot because of the heart you put into it. You ever seen a baby cry? When they want something? They put their whole body into it. I mean, their legs shake, their curls toe. Their toes curl. But they put their whole body into it. When they want something, they scream with their whole heart, I want food. God says, when you ask me for... Did you know? God says, that's the way we're supposed to pray. With our heart. God says, that's how you're supposed to teach and preach the God's Word, is with your heart. That's how we're supposed to live, with our heart. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because God tells us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. Has anybody here accomplished that? No. Can all of us love Him more? Yes. We're learning to give our hearts. But the sermon this morning is to help us and encourage us to at least begin to do so. And I said already, you're only happy as a Christian when you give God your heart and you serve Him with your heart. Do you know when church becomes an inconvenience? Do you know why you feel sometimes that God is in the way? Because you haven't given God your heart. Anytime church becomes mundane, I understand, I hope as I pray, God, show me what to preach and help me to preach. I hope you enjoy the messages. I hope that God uses them to speak to your heart. But if you, when you start to get cold and you start to, or how about this attitude? All right, I guess I'll grace God and the people with my presence this morning. Yuck. Well, I'm here. I'm here. Everybody ought to be glad. Because it's such an inconvenience. That ought to be an automatic red sign. God doesn't have my heart. How come I gotta go to church? Man, I'd rather lay on the couch and scratch. Everybody's tempted that way. But hopefully you can enjoy church. When you feel like you've been sentenced to Christianity, God doesn't have your heart. This morning I want you to just think of a couple of things. Number one, it's very wise to give God your heart. You see, you're going to give your heart to something. Be very careful what you allow your heart to pursue. Giving your heart to God is the wisest thing you can do. If you've given it before, give it again and again. Praise the Lord, you only have to get saved once. But because we're saved sinners, our hearts are prone to wander. And we have to give it again and give it again to the one who saved us. Proverbs 23, do you see what follows our text? We're in verse 26, right? Look at verse 27. I'll read verse 26 again. My son, Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Look at verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. You know what the consequences of not giving? You're going to give your heart to something. And if you don't let your emotions and your heart and your desire be occupied with God, Satan has a whole bunch of stuff that he just loved to watch you waste your life on. That's why a whore, the prostitute, follows verse 26. And it's a warning. He's saying, be careful. You're gonna give yourself to something. You better choose carefully. Your heart is in your control. Your heart is in your control. You see, everything wants your heart, but the world will destroy your life. God is the only one you can give your heart to who will help you and not hurt you. Therefore, that's why I said, giving your heart to God is wise. Look at how the whole chapter ends. Look at verse number 29. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself right. Alcohol is not supposed to be in your house. Ever. We're not even supposed to, God just says there's something about looking at it. Because what do they always show? The beer commercials always show it pouring into the glass. They always show it in the glass. God says, don't even look at it. There's an evil there. All alcohol is bad. The chapter ends with, my son, give me thine heart. A whore is a deep ditch. And there's plenty of people that said, I'm not a fanatic. I'm not an extremist. I'm not a Jesus freak. I'm not giving my heart to that. But they gave their heart to something. And here, the chapter ends on the heart with drinking, with the warnings of alcohol. Alcohol is the devil's water and the devil's brew. You see, there's only one way to keep you from alcohol and drunkenness and the wicked partying lifestyle, and that's heed the Lord's plea to give me thine heart. Your character and your determination to stay pure until you get married and your resolve are no substitute for giving your heart to the Lord. You learn one thing in the Christian life, and you know, we'll teach the teenagers about character and your discipline, and this is what I stand for, and these are lines I'm not going to cross, but you soon learn you need God. I don't care how strong your character is. Satan's stronger, and you need the Lord. You need the Lord. Your determination is not enough. Nothing can protect you in these perilous times, like being able to truthfully declare Psalm 57 verse 6, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I'm determined I'm going to live for God. I said, number one, it's very wise to give your heart to the Lord. It's very wise. Number two, give your heart to the Lord because it'll please Him. Give your heart to the Lord because it'll please Him. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart. And God is saying, watch me. Watch me. In the Christmas season, people always ask each other, what do you want for Christmas, right? How many times have you been asked that? What do you want? Because what? The giver wants to give the gift. The giver wants to know, what can I get? You know, and dads like ties. It's just, it doesn't need to be the same color as it was last year. You know what I mean? So, but that's what you want when you give somebody a gift. Your first question is, what would you like? Because I want to give you something that you like. And here in the Bible, we're told automatically, God says, you know what I'd really like? You know what the one thing I don't have is your heart. And if you could give me anything, I would love to have your heart, your emotions, your desires. I'd love to have you pursuing me and seeking my face. I'd love to have your love. You see, I already made this statement a little bit, but what could you give God that He doesn't have? If we're celebrating the incarnation of God, God being made flesh, if we're to enjoy the fact that God came to us when we couldn't go to Him, that's the season. Praise God, I like it. Okay? Could I just ask you a question this morning? What are you giving the Lord for Christmas? You say, well, I'm not giving Him anything. Okay, isn't that goofy? Like you're going to sell it. We're having a birthday party for Jesus. Yay. Okay. Really, what'd you bring the king? Oh, I got... Would you like to go to... How'd you like to have a birthday party where everybody at the party gets a gift but you? All I'm saying is if that's the season, that's what we're celebrating. What could you give God that He really wants? What could you give God that He doesn't have? Your heart. And you're the only one that can give it. You're the only one that can give it. Are you giving the Lord anything this Christmas? Are you giving Him anything? You see, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. And that word present is just like what we wrap a gift and do what? This is a present because I'm presenting it to you. And God says, take your body and take your life and wrap it up and give it to God, a holy sacrifice, and present it. God, I present myself to you, a holy gift to God. It's another way of saying, give God your heart. You see, half-hearted singing is empty. Blessed be amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Nobody likes that, right? Half-hearted singing normally makes people sick. We said, today, pastor's going to come up here and sing a song for us before he preaches. And God up here, you know, what was that? Okay, you got to sing it. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds. You want the heart up there, right? Okay, but we got the point. We got the point this morning, all right? Half-hearted singing normally makes people sick. And watch this. So does a Christian's half-hearted singing make God sick, right? Because we're supposed to be, He's our song and He's the one we're singing to, right? He's the audience. The Lord is my song and my salvation. So when we just, God goes, if you can't do it with your heart, I'd really rather you not do it. I want your heart. Half-hearted singing is empty. Half-hearted service doesn't please the Lord. And I've already hit on it, but okay, fine, I'll go to church. you know, walk in. I probably overdid that. Half-hearted service makes God sick, like you don't like seeing it either. Half-hearted prayers are a mockery to God. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. God is great, God is good. Let us thank you for the food. Amen. You wouldn't want to hear that, and I'm trying to drive a point home, any more than God wants to hear that. While I was praying, what more do you want? Your heart. You see, I don't want to tell you that God deserves your heart this morning, even though everyone in here would agree with me. God deserves your heart. You see, your consecration, or you giving yourself to God, you giving your heart has to be free. Otherwise, you do it out of a sense of paying a debt or a tax. Okay, fine. Here's my heart. I paid my dues. He's worthy. I understand. Okay, yeah, you're right. I guess he's got to have it. I'm going to give it to anybody. It's got to be him. God says, I don't want you doing it because you have to. God says, I want you doing it because you want to. Everything, you'll learn that in the Christian life. God says, I saved you freely. You paid nothing for your salvation. And I gave you my heart. Remember? It was pierced on the cross. Out came water and blood. And just like I gave my heart freely, God says, I don't want you to have to do it out of duty. I want you giving me your heart like I gave you mine. It was free. No strings attached. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture? You see, do you know you can't understand God's wisdom in His Word unless you give your heart to it? Did you know you can't begin to understand God's love for you and Christ crucified unless you give your heart to it? It's not intended for the half-hearted or the quarter-hearted. I didn't say you couldn't be saved unless you give your heart to the Lord. But you don't enjoy being saved and prosper as a Christian unless you give your heart to the Lord. Men who don't enjoy their trade or who don't give themselves to their business, we know this, never prosper. How come you failed at your business? Because you did it with a half heart. You didn't put yourself into it, right? How come you didn't prosper as a Christian? Because you didn't put your heart into it. You didn't give God your heart. You see, if they didn't have Christ, they would have to be able to enjoy the world. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Some people have just enough Christianity to make them miserable. Think about what I'm saying. Listen closely. If they didn't have Christ, they'd be able to enjoy the world, but they have too much religion to be able to enjoy the world, and they don't have enough to enjoy the world to come. So they're strangers in God's country, and yet they're able to make themselves at and yet they aren't able to make themselves at home with the devil either. That's sad. They're not happy at church, but they know they shouldn't be running with the wrong crowd and doing all that stuff, so they're not happy in either place. Do you know why? Because they've not given God their heart. They have just enough Christianity to be miserable. And that's sad. All I can do for people like that is read our text this morning. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart. And let you picture God asking you this morning as His child, give me your heart. I like the choice Joshua gave Israel. Joshua 24. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be gods, whether your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But Joshua said what? But as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. If you haven't got it figured out yet, the devil's trying to destroy you. He's a liar. He's a murderer. If you haven't got it figured out yet, you do what you want to do. But I'm going to serve God. And I'm not floating downstream with the rest of the crowd. I said a few things this morning. We're getting ready to close here. Just listen. God, you say, when does God want my heart? Right now. Right now. You see, there are always those who are going to get right tomorrow. It's how their calendar's set up. And every time they get to today, what they're going to do tomorrow, they end up doing when? Tomorrow. They have a weird calendar. Do you understand? They never get around to it. When are you going to get right? Not today. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow will be today, so tomorrow never comes. It's just always put off. When does God want your heart? Now. Freely by your choice. God doesn't want us to be crushed and pounded into repentance. Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Can God spank you and get your attention? Yes. Does God have ways of getting our attention? But you know, God says, you know how I like to work? I like it when you look at everything I've done for you. I hold your breath in my hand. The next breath you take, God says, I hold it right there. God says, I'd really like you to look at all that I've done for you. I created you. I've given you everything you have. And the goodness of God is supposed to, God says, is what I really like you to lead to what? Repent. Change your mind. You know, maybe I do need to give God a little bit more. You know, I could give God a little bit more. I could give God my heart. I could start. When? Now. You see, it's sad that a man has to live a long life of sin to learn that sin doesn't pay. Then with their bones broken and their lives wrecked, God willingly takes them, praise God, as they give their last days to the Lord. And that's wonderful, and we're all thankful for that, and I'm not trying to make small of that. But how much better for a youth that says, I'm going to give God my heart while I'm in the strongest days of my life. When you give the Lord your heart, you give it now. Number two, you'll notice something about your heart. You can't give half of it. Because if you give half of it, you killed it. It quit beating. You understand? Do you understand when you give your heart to the Lord, when God is saying, give me your heart, He's saying, give me all of it. You can't get, well, okay, here, cut you off a slice. I'll give you some more next week. What you learn in the Christian life is devotion and consecration to God and giving yourself to the Lord and surrender. It is one of those, all or nothing. Okay, that's why we sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender. None of us sing, one-tenth to Jesus I surrender, one-tenth to Him I freely give. I will one-tenth of the time love and trust Him in His presence daily. I made the point. It is an all or nothing. When you give your... You see, the devil doesn't mind half of your heart. He's like the woman to whom the child didn't belong. Remember, two women came, one of them died in the night. And they bring the baby to Solomon and said, Lord, her baby died. And this baby's mine. And the mother's going, no, her baby's the one that died in the night, and that baby's mine. So what did Solomon in his wisdom do? He said, give me the baby, I'll cut it in half. And the mother said, no, don't do that. Give her the baby then, I don't want to see it die. And what did the other mother say? Fine, kill the baby. And what did Solomon say? She's the real mom. Same thing. Same thing. Devil doesn't care what part of your heart you give. The devil doesn't care what part of your life's destroyed. God says, no, give me the whole thing. God says, give me your whole heart. If I just ask you this morning, where is your heart? If you're going to give it to the Lord, you have to know where it is. Right?
Well, it's around here somewhere.
You can't give God something. As soon as I find it, it's yours. I have to ask you a question this morning. Where is your heart? You see, some have lost their heart in money. Some have lost their heart in clothing and wardrobe. Some have lost their heart in house and their possessions and materialism. Some have lost their heart in the acceptance of everyone around them. This morning, can I just encourage you, no matter what state your heart is in, God says, give me your poor, corrupted, filthy, defiled, polluted, depraved, stony heart, and I'll take it just as it is.
Well, I got to make it better,
God says. I'll take it just as it is. And if you'll give me your hard, stony heart, I can make it soft again, if you'll give it to me. The text this morning is, my son, give me thine heart. Yes, it's a dad talking to his son. But when you read your Bible, if it's God speaking to you, that's God's word, then God the Father this morning says to you as His child, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Let's pray, Father, please. Thank you for this truth this morning.